It's time I invite you to our scripture reading today, which comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. So from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21 and following. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel, even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offerings, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At the time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts in many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, who was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. She lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. So this morning I want to share a few thoughts about waiting eagerly for the Lord and what the Lord is up to in our lives. And I know maybe someone's out there listening thinking, well, you haven't said anything about the wise men and camels. Well, they're coming, and I'll get to them next week. Well, you may think, you haven't said anything about the reindeer yet. Well, they're not in this particular story, okay? That's something totally different. But at this point in our story, Mary and Joseph, and now the baby Jesus, are still in Bethlehem, just down the road from Jerusalem. And so this is one of those stories that kind of gets forgotten in public imagery. And our consciousness. Maybe because there's no livestock, there's no sheep or camels involved in this story. But it's a story about how God is faithful and keeps his promise. And so we have this young couple. They're Jewish, so on the 8th day, the baby boy is circumcised, named Jesus. As I said before, Jesus is just a version of Joshua, meaning God saves. And then being Jewish, there's some other rituals they have to go through. One ritual is that the parents have to go through a situation of purification after a birth. That's part of the law of Moses. And then there's another ritual that's called the redemption of the firstborn. In the Jewish culture, The firstborn child was believed to belong to the Lord. And to understand that, you had to go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And I'm sure you mirror this from the Bible, or maybe from seeing the Charlton Heston movie, where when God's people were enslaved in Egypt bondage, the Lord sent 9 plagues upon Egypt. And Pharaoh said, no, I will not let the people go. And finally, the Lord said, I've had enough. Plague number 10, the death of the firstborn child. But the Lord told Moses, Moses, tell the people to kill an innocent lamb without blemish, put the blood on the doorpost. And that night, you're to eat the lamb and gain your strength, because you got a long journey tomorrow morning. But during the night, the angel of death will pass over your house, and no one will be harmed. And that is where our Jewish friends get the holiday of Passover, because the angel of death passed over, and their firstborn children were spared. And so out of that tradition comes the idea of every firstborn child in the Jewish family belongs to the Lord. And so it'd be kind of like in our Christian tradition, the idea of christening, you know, or having a baby dedication. Now, think about this. So here's Mary and Joseph going up to the temple. It talks about their sacrifice. They have a pair of turtle doves or 2 pigeons. They didn't have a lot of money, so they couldn't afford a expensive sacrifice. So this is a poor man's sacrifice. And so they're in the big city going to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they get surprised. Now, how would you feel? Okay, we'll pick on Clinton here because he's among you that God. How would it be, Clinton, back when you were a baby, if your mom and dad were in Nashville, say, and they went to the church, and this random stranger just came by and picked you up as a little baby and started talking about what a great kid you're going to be? First of all, your mom and dad might think, I hope he's not going to deduct our child here, okay? Who is this man? Well, I don't know, but, you know, Mary and Joseph, after the shepherd showed up, you know, after birth and delivery there in the barn, I guess they're getting used to the idea of random strangers just coming in the house, okay? And, of course, next week we'll have 3 wise men show up and know at the house, too. So they're just kind of getting used that random people are going to show up and tell them about what a great baby they have. And so here's Simeon. He is righteous, devout, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. It was not like, yeah, the Messiah's coming one of these days. No, he was eager about, like, the Messiah's coming. He's coming. He's coming to rescue Israel. And he says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, again, the Holy Spirit's not upon all believers this time, but on a select few. And Simeon has the Holy Spirit upon him. And the Holy Spirit has let him in on a secret. Simeon, you will not die until you have seen the Messiah. Now, I'm sure that the devil gave Simeon a hard time about this. I'm like, now, Simeon, do you really think you're going to live long enough to see the Messiah? You just heard things. That's just you daydreaming. Now, let's suppose that Simeon was 70 years old. That's a good, even biblical number, 70 years old. What all has Simeon seen in his lifetime? Well, as a young child, he remembered back when there was an actual Jewish king, an actual Jewish kingdom, and the people were actually doing their thing. And then he remembered around his teenage years, into his 20s there, about how there was actually a little civil war kind of broke out about who should be the next king. He remembered that. And then he remembered how one of the contenders for the throne asked for outside help and invited a Roman general by the name of Pompey to come in. Oh, that was a mistake. And General Pompey marched into Jerusalem with his Roman army. And Pompey defiled the temple by walking into the Holy of Holies and pulling back the curtain. And then he was surprised. General Pompey had walked in many temples in foreign lands and saw their idols of gold and silver and stone. But this Jewish nation was weird. When he went in their Holy of Holies and looked, it was empty. the God of Israel was not made out of stone and silver. And then he remembered later on about how another guy rose up named Julius Caesar. He was very nice to the Jewish people, and they backed him against Pompey. And he gave the Jewish people a lot more independence to do their own thing. And then, remember when he heard the news that Julius Caesar, their ally, had been assassinated in Rome. And then the stories about how a civil war was in Rome between those who opposed Caesar and those who didn't. And how two men arose, Mark Antony and Caesar Augustus, the nephew of Julius Caesar. And then Mark Antony decides, I have a friend, he needs a kingdom. My friend named Herod. We'll give him the kingdom of the Jews. And so when Herod arrived, the Jewish people revolted against him, not want him to be a king. And so the Romans sent in armies down from Syria and took Jerusalem by force and placed Herod on the throne. And then a world war broke out between Caesar Augustus and Mark Antony and his girlfriend Cleopatra. And it ended with them committing suicide. And then King Herod, through the years, would kill various people of his households out of fear that one of them might be getting greedy for the throne. Simeon has seen a lot in his lifetime, a lot of tragedy and bloodshed and wars. Now, my grandfather was born in the year 1900, okay? So this makes the math simple for me. Think about my grandfather, born 1900. So when he was a small toddler, there was a Spanish-American war that broke out. The Rough Riders, Teddy Roosevelt. You know, and then when he was a teenager, 1918, he was born 1900, so he turned 18, 1918. And I saw on Ancestry.com where he had to fill out the draft form because World War I had broken out. Remember that? And we kind of forgotten this, but folks have talked about in the past year or two about remember how World War I, there was a great pandemic that broke out across the world, right? I have a book in the Central Library came out a few years ago and had a picture of a person wearing a mask. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't think too much about it. I didn't realize that was a harbinger of things to come at Central. You know, and then my grandfather in the 20s left McMinn County with my grandmother and went to California, to the oil fields. Roaring 20s, he was doing great. And then what happened in the late 20s, early 30s? The Great Depression. And then he moved back to McMinn County, Tennessee. Well, what happened in the 40s? Now, Miss Maggie was here. She tells us how she was in church on Sunday, 1941, when they were talking about the news. Pearl Harbor, that faraway territory, wasn't safe back then, had been attacked. Yeah. And so here we are fighting a war against Italy, Germany, and Japan. And several of my aunts were nurses in that particular war. And on Christmas Day, 1944, my dad was born. He turned 77 yesterday. And you think about when he was a young kid, the Korean War broke out. You know, and General MacArthur, and I shall return. And no, old soldiers never die, but fade away. You know, and then he lived in an age where they would tell kids, you need to get down on the floor and cover your head in case there is a nuclear attack. And so the thing about my dad was born in 44. Guess what was going on about 20 years later in 1964? The Vietnam War, and off the war he went. And he served 2 years in the U.S. military. Came back from Vietnam War. Met mom in the 70s. You know, had a lot of economic crisis going on. Gas prices are going up. Inflation going up. I know we can't relate to that. Things were tough. No, I came along in 81. And in my lifetime, I don't remember this, but I remember people talking about it. I remember talking about the Space Challenger, Shuttle Challenger exploding. I remember that. And I remember as a kid, around this time in 1989, watching the TV, and I just remember all these people were happy and shouting, they were tearing down this wall. I had a bunch of graffiti on it. Didn't understand what was going on. The Soviet Union was falling apart. Now, I remember really well when the Persian Gulf War broke out. We had little skits and plays at Calhoun to support the troops. And then I remember the tragedy of the Oklahoma City bombing and such. Now, I was born September the 16th, 1981. All right, so Clint did the math. At 20 years of that, September 16th, 2001. That was on the Sunday. Guess what happened the Tuesday before my 20th birthday? 9/11. Scared my mom to death. She just knew I was going to get drafted and go to the war, you know. And so I had 9/11, and the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. Then the housing market crash in 2008. You know, and here we are now with the pandemic. Think how much we've seen in our lifetime. Like old Simeon, we've seen wars and assassinations and such going on. But Simeon didn't focus on that. He focused on the coming of the Messiah. And as Christians, we can't be focused on all this tragedy around us. We got to focus on the fact that the Messiah is returning, Jesus. And so Simeon goes, takes up his child, he praises God and says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. In other words, Lord, I'm ready to go on. I've seen it all now. I've seen all this craziness, but seeing this baby, that's the grand finale. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God's to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon said that Jesus was a light to the nations. And then the King James Version said, the light to the Gentiles. A few weeks ago, we had our services here, and we were lighting candles and the Christmas tree and the star. You know, we were talking about how Jesus, the people who dwell in darkness, have seen a great light. Jesus, for the non-Jewish people, was their light. You go to Africa, and they had their the Egyptians with their false gods and goddesses. In Africa, their different spiritual beliefs. Over in the Middle East, you have people worshiping idols, and then later on, they were converted to Islam. Go over to India, and their belief in Hinduism, with all their millions of gods and goddesses. You can get to other parts of Asia, and their Eastern mystic religions. You can get to Russia, with their atheism. You go over to Europe, where the Greek and the Romans had their gods and goddesses. You go to South America, and you had the different tribes and their gods and goddesses, and some of whom would commit human sacrifices to. And then even here in the United States, we have our gods and goddesses. We have the gods of money and wealth and power and war that we worship. We don't put up idols. We're not that office, but we're more sneaky about it. We have our Hollywood entertainers. We have a show, American Idol. The world was in darkness, but Jesus was the light to the world to show that there is only one God, the true God, and he is coming into this world. And then he says he was the glory of the people of Israel. The people of Israel, they say, well, about Abraham, the father of faith? Yeah, Abraham's great. Or what about Joseph? You had the dreams. Joseph is great. What about Moses? He gave us the Ten Commandments and God's laws. Moses is great. Or what about King David? He gave us the Psalms. King David was great. What about King Solomon and all his proverbs? He was great. What about Isaiah and Jeremiah and all their prophecies? They were great. But as great as they were, the climax came with this little baby, Jesus. He was the glory of the people of Israel. And the author tells us that the parents were amazed at what was being said about them. And then Simeon blessed them both. And then listen to this. He turns to Mary, the mother, and says, I got a message for you. Now, we think that Joseph died sometime when Jesus was a young man, because he doesn't appear in the Gospels after Jesus turned 12. It seems like he lived long enough to have more children, to teach them how to be carpenters, and then he died. He lived a hard life being a worker like that. But Mary lived to see the ministry of Jesus. And Simeon tells Mary, Mary, this child is destined to cause men of Israel to fall and others to rise. You know, Jesus for some people is a stumbling block, but for others, he's a cornerstone. He says he has been sent as a sign from God, and many will oppose him. Think about all the religious leaders in the temple who opposed Jesus during his ministry. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then here's a part that makes me very sad when I read it. And a sword will pierce your very soul. Now, there's a song called Mary, Did You Know? Now, a couple years ago, everybody liked that song. Now nobody likes it. Because folks say, well, Mary did know. I mean, read your Bible and see what she said. Now, and I think Mary knew that Jesus was going to do great things. But I think this is her first hint that there was going to be sorrow involved with this. What Mary didn't realize was being the mother of Jesus is not going to be an easy task. Because you're going to see him be rejected by his people. And then you're going to see him nailed to a cross. Now, I talked about last week how when they wrapped Jesus up and laid him in the manger, Mary was unknowingly setting up the scene of Jesus' burial in a tomb. And here Simeon is warning Mary, Mary, sorrow like a sword will pierce your soul. You know, you can lose your mom, your dad, your grandparents, aunt and uncles, and that's one thing. But to lose your child is something totally different. And so here's the parents just being amazed what's being said. Well, no sooner Simeon gets finished, here comes Anna. Anna, she was married 7 years, and her husband died. And so she lived as a widow at age 84, always worshiping, fasting, and praying, you know. It's kind of like a nun. And when Simeon had finished, she jumped in line, and she began praising God. And she told everyone about the child to everyone who'd been waiting for the Lord to rescue Jerusalem. So think about this. You got Simeon, this old man, and this old woman. And yet, they knew something that the high priest didn't know, King Herod the Great didn't know, Emperor Caesar Augustus didn't know. They knew that the Messiah, the promised one, was in the temple that day. And they were there rejoicing and praising God and telling people about him. So what about you? Are there some promises you're holding on to? God made you a promise, and 1 year, 2 years, 3 years went by, and you're kind of thinking, well, the devil tells you, it's too late now. That'll never happen. I want to encourage you to be like Simeon and Anna. That even though the years come and go, and the society changes, and there's new headlines, God's promises never change. Simeon was an old man, but the day he could come and say, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He is a light unto the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And I think about how he took Jesus in his arms. Well, we can't take Jesus in our arms, but this morning, everyone in the world can take Jesus into their heart and say, Lord, invite Jesus into my heart. And like Simeon, I can die in peace. In other words, I don't have to fear death. Why? Because I have seen your salvation. He is the light of the Gentiles. He is the glory of your people, Israel. Thanks be to God. Amen.